Thanks, Jerry. Boy, do I have a ton of announcements for you this morning. I just had a couple, and people kept handing me pieces of paper. People I don't even know were handing me pieces of paper this morning. So we'll go through them, all right? First of all, I want to remind you that next Sunday and the Sunday after, don't come here unless you want to go to school, because we won't be doing Sunday fellowship here, okay? Most of you know that. In light of family camp, where the next two Sundays we won't be doing Sunday fellowship here, so please don't show up. If there's anybody that you know of who may not know that, it might be loving to let them know, okay? Also, speaking of camp, boy, I'm excited. What a great time this is going to be. Oh, man, what a great time in the Word it's going to be. All of our teachers are fully prepared. I could tell you a story, but I'm not going to tell it. But I do want to let you know that those of you who are helping with children's fellowship at camp, if you could meet with Darlene right afterwards. Where do you want to meet with them, Darlene? Over there? Okay. And I need to meet with all of our fellowship leaders, maybe to make it doable, just husband or wife if you're married, okay? And I'll meet with you over here. And also our outreach house guys. How about if you join in on that, okay? By the way, our outreach house guys are in for the morning, so give them a hand. Yeah, there they are. They have survived week one. That's fantastic. 51 more to go, though. Let's see, what else? At 1:30 today, where's Holly? You're at the stand-in, right? Okay. Over at the study center at 1:30, we're planting ground cover. Is that what we're doing? Tina needs a crew to plant ground cover. Tina right now is with our children, however. So if you would like to be part of that crew, if you could just check in with Holly McCaw up here at some point after the fellowship, so we have an idea that somebody's coming, okay? Because we just would like to have a crew of people. Everybody who's ever been over there to work knows how much of a blessing it is. And today the task is to plant some ground cover. So if you'd like to be a part of that at 1:30, love to have you. Of course, we have our choir announcement. Sunday morning wouldn't be complete without a choir announcement. The project/ensemble choir is having their next rehearsal is Friday, August 12th at 7:15 at the Fellowship House. Okay. We have some lost and found Bibles on a table at the back. If you have lost your Bible, please check it out, or they're going to be found by somebody like me, and I'm going to keep them. There's some nice ones back there. So if you aren't sure what happened to that Bible of yours, it may be on that table in the back. Check it out, okay, because we won't keep them there forever. Some stranger handed me this announcement for family camp. So, oh, there she is, that lady with red hair back there. If you're going to family camp, she says that extra copies of the information letter and directions are on the back table. I'm sure no one will need those. They all keep them. We know from experience. But they're back there. And if anyone needs a copy of the menu for dietary reasons, they're going to eat it. So, okay. Anyone needs a copy of the menu for dietary reasons? There are a few copies on the back table. Family camp is next week. So, I also wanted to remind you, in the short time we have left in this building, by the way, that reminds me, in the short time we have left in this building, you notice that as weeks have gone on, parking gets to be more and more of a challenge. Thanks, Rick. And there are places to park, okay? It's really kind of nice. I mean, the fact that it fills up, it's an incentive to not show up late, isn't it? So those of you who've shown up late, it's a little bit more of a challenge. But, you know, far as I'm concerned, if you need to park around the outside of the circle, or if you need to park on that little area with the lines through it, if you come in late, that's okay with me. I don't think anybody's going to arrest you. The only parking area that's off limits is the handicapped area. Other than that, if you need to park someplace that you couldn't ordinarily in order to get in on Sunday, that's fine. Better yet, show up on time. That'd be great. But if you are late in the weeks we've got remaining here, next week, by the way, you shouldn't have a problem parking. The week after, you shouldn't have a problem parking. So, I think that's it as far as announcements go. So let's turn to Isaiah 55, please. Last week we looked at some things in God's Word regarding God's ways and our ways. And really there have been some great comments and questions since then that made me think it wouldn't be bad to spend another Sunday on a related topic. So I guess this is a series, if you want to call it that. And that is, you know, we looked last week at how walking in God's ways, it's a choice, right? You and I make that choice. First of all, we have to learn God's ways. And you learn them where? In His Word. He gave His Word to reveal His ways. And then we choose to acknowledge His ways and choose to walk in them, or choose to not acknowledge them and not walk in them, right? It's a choice that you and I make. Now, some are ignorant of God's ways, so they can't make that choice. But once you know God's Word, His ways are revealed to you, you decide, I'm going to walk in them or I'm not. Many times people decide, I'll walk in these because they agree with what I already think, but I'm going to ignore these ways because I don't like them. Well, that's called disobedience. But we can choose to walk in God's ways. We can choose to not walk in God's ways. Another question comes up, and it comes to me frequently, and that's what I thought I'd handle with you this morning, and that is, well, how can I get other people to walk in God's ways? All too often that comes in the form of a phone call telling me that I need to get other people to walk in God's ways. I need to talk to so-and-so so they start living God's Word, or I need to sit down with a group, usually the teens, and... You know, we used to have a guy at our fellowship who every few weeks would say, when are you going to teach the teens about premarital sex? When are you going to teach the teens about the dangers of alcohol? When are you going to teach the teens about smoking? And my answer to him would be the same every time. Never. And he's not with us anymore. Because he was highly interested in monitoring people's behavior. And that's the interesting thing about people who call me like that. Usually, they're very interested in monitoring everyone else's behavior. They don't usually call, and those same people don't usually call and say, how can I do a better job of living God's Word? But they want to tell me how everyone else can do a better job of living God's Word. That's not really biblical. You know, I don't have the power to make a group of people or an individual choose God's ways, do I? No, you don't either. You don't either. In man-made religion, basically what all religion has in common is it endeavors to enforce certain ways. God never enforces. God just teaches. See, in Isaiah 55, we looked at this last week. Remember where he said in verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Then down in verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And I almost always point out when we're reading this verse, how often do we come up in this verse? We don't at all, right? God mentions himself five times. He says, it's my word, goes forth out of my mouth. It's not going to come back to me void. It's going to accomplish what I send it to do. We have very little to do with it other than to believe it or not believe it, believe it or reject it. It's God's word. It's going to accomplish that which he wants it to accomplish. We can either jump on board or not. We can either follow or not. But that's really the only choice we have. God, it's his word. He sent it out. He's revealed his ways. Those of us who want to know his ways and walk in them can learn them from his word. And then verse 12 applies to us where it says, you, see there's you, we finally come up now, don't we? You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in a singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. That's going to be true if we choose to walk God's ways. But we're not going to change God's word. Okay? We're not going to change God's word. And we're not going to force anybody to live God's word, ultimately. Oh, I can try. I can try, and plenty of groups have tried. But you know what? When the pressure builds up enough, when push comes to shove, that person's going to do what they want to do. So for you and I to try to force people, and often we do with the greatest of intentions, right? Because I know if they just lived the word, boy, it would help them so much. It would help them so much. And so I talk, and I plead, and I cajole, and I argue, and I motivate, and they finally just wear out and say, okay. But it's not from the heart, and it's not going to last. See, God doesn't work that way. God never forced anybody to live his word, did he? Even Adam, from the very start, You know, let's look at that record, by the way. I think we'll look at that record. Nah, let's not look at that record. Tell you what, we're going to look at it quite a bit at family camp. So if you're going to be there, you'll get to hear a lot about that record. But how about if we go to Ezekiel instead? Ezekiel 33, because what I really want to stay on point with you this morning is sharing God's ways, what we can do and what we can't do. We can teach them, we can show them, but can we force people into them? No, we can't. You see, and really, I told you every once in a while, people call me and want me to change people, like that gentleman who wanted me to change the teens all the time. Generally, people of that nature find themselves to be not very happy in our fellowship because we don't want to change people. We don't want to fix people. We want to make known God's word. You know, this is called scriptural study groups because we endeavor to study the scriptures in a scriptural fashion and we endeavor to make them known. And then you know what? Those who want to know God's ways have access to them by way of the scriptures. Those who don't know want to know them, God bless. You know why? Because they're going to be unhappy with us sooner or later. So if you don't want to walk in God's ways, may as well make it clear from the get-go, then you'll be happier, I'll be happier. And that's what our fellowship is about. We're about studying the scriptures for those who want to know the scriptures, for those who want to walk in the scriptures. And generally, those who don't won't stick around that long. They'll find some place where something else is emphasized. But we can't find a record in the Word, and go ahead if you want to try, where God makes somebody live His Word. God doesn't operate that way. We saw that last week, right? One of the primary ways of God is that He respects man's freedom of will. And we need to do the same. So we teach God's word, and then those who want it, it's there for them. Those who don't want it, God bless them. Let them go on their merry way, because they're going to anyway. You know, we cannot force people to change. If you try, it's going to lead to many dead, wounded, and resentful. It's not going to result in deliverance, however. Ezekiel 33 is a great example of that. Because God called this man of God Ezekiel. And if you read about Ezekiel, you'll find out that God promised him, get this, teens, okay, at the outset of his ministry, the very opening of his ministry, God called him to be a prophet. He said, I'm calling you to speak for me. Well, that'd be pretty exciting, wouldn't it? If God, woke you up one night and said, Sarah, you're going to be a prophet. You're going to speak for me. I'm going to talk to you face to face. I'm going to lay all this great truth on you, and you're going to be able to speak it to all of it. Wouldn't that be great? But then he said, and for no one is going to believe you. Your whole life, no one, not one person, is going to care about what you're saying. That's the other side of the coin. See, Ezekiel had a relationship with God. He spoke with God. But God told him up front, nobody's going to believe. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Well, why speak then? Because if you speak, they've got the opportunity, don't they? Why did Jesus Christ teach the Pharisees about who he was? So they had the opportunity. Did he know they were probably going to reject him? Yeah, but they had the opportunity. Then they could never stand before God and say, well, I couldn't walk in your ways because nobody ever told me your ways. Jesus Christ did. Israel couldn't come before God and say, well, we couldn't walk in your ways because nobody told us. Oh, Ezekiel did. And here's what God compares it to in Ezekiel 33. Verse 1, it says, again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. Okay, so you know what a watchman is? Okay, sure. So he's like up there on the walls watching, right? That's his job. His job's to watch. If when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and doesn't take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Well, you see the picture? Okay, let's say Leon. Here's Leon. He's the watchman. Okay, he's stand up on the wall, Leon. Come here, I need you up on the wall. Now here's the wall up here. There you go. You got it. Okay, you see the enemy coming. What do you do? Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Now, it's our job to take heed or not to that warning, right? You know, we've got this god-awful siren down the road from our house that sounds like it's right outside our bedroom window. And whenever, well, every Wednesday at noon, they test it. And then also whenever there's tornado warnings and things like that, the purpose of that is to give a warning. Now, what you do with that warning is up to you, right? Can't blame the alarm because it's been blown. That's what God's saying about the man of God, that Ezekiel's to be a watchman to Israel. You see the enemy coming, you blow the trumpet. If they don't listen, their blood's on their own heads. But let's keep reading. If the watchman sees the sword come and doesn't blow the trumpet, and the people aren't warned, if the sword come and takes any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I've set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Oh, you see, if God just looked at Israel and said, they ain't going to believe, so I'm not going to send a prophet, that would be unjust on God's part. So he put a watchman for Israel, even knowing that when he blew the trumpet, nobody was going to pay any attention. But then their blood's on whose head? It's on their own, right? But you see, God never forced anybody to heed the warning, did he? But he always made sure that the trumpet was blown. He always made sure that his word was available. God's always watched over his word to perform it. God's always seen to it that his word's available. And then those who choose to walk in it have God's word to walk in, you see. Acts 17, please. Acts 17. Verse 32, right at the end of the chapter. Paul was in Athens, testifying to the things of God, teaching them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 32, it says, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul got his calendar out and said, oh, great, can we meet next Tuesday? And then the Tuesday after that, and the Tuesday after that, and the Tuesday after that, and we can talk and talk and talk till 3 a.m. so I'll be exhausted all the next day and can't do anything for God. And we could talk for years and you'll never change. That would be great. No. Look at this. It says Paul departed from among them. Both the mockers and the ones who said, oh, we want to hear more. Oh, tell us some more. Oh, let's talk some more. Let's talk some more. Sean, let's talk some more. Let me waste your life, Sean. Let's talk and talk and talk and talk and never believe. Come on, let's talk some more, Sean. He departed from them. He departed from them. Some of you guys know what that verse is talking about, right? You got people who listen to you talk for years, but do they believe? The Word of God says Paul departed from them. Just because they're no different than the mockers. Because there's the one thing they don't do is what? They don't believe. The third category, it says, did what? Certain men claim unto him and did what? Believed. That's all that matters. That's the only proper response to the Word of God. He gave his word for believing. He didn't give his word for interest. Just you guys out in Cambridge, you're going to meet people who are really interested in God's word. So what? They're no different than mockers. God didn't give his word to keep us interested. God didn't give his word to stimulate us intellectually. He gave his word to be believed, period. That's the only reason he gave it. So you know who we stick with? Those who believe. You make God's word known. Very simple, isn't it? It's his word, right? I don't have to make it up. It's his word. I just need to share it. And some are going to mock. Some are going to want to talk and talk, and they really like you, and they've got all kinds of other things. But some are just going to flat out say, oh, I believe that. Which group do I pick then? Isn't this simple? This is not complicated. We've got God's word. It makes known his ways. We share it. Some will believe. Those are the ones we stick with. Couldn't be any simpler than that. Couldn't be any simpler than that. And yet we mess it up all the time, but it's that simple. Some will believe. And if they do, then we know who to keep working with and share more of God's word. And then we keep sharing it until they stop believing. Then they're full, I guess, and you find somebody else who wants to believe. You understand? We just share God's word, and those who believe it, they're the ones we stick with. And you notice it doesn't even say Paul went and tracked them down. It says they clave unto him and believed. Isn't that something? Isn't that simple? Because think about it. What else did God give his word for? That's it, period, right? Doesn't Romans 10 say that believing comes by hearing the word of God? Doesn't Hebrews 11 say that it's impossible to please God without believing? Doesn't Romans 10 again call it the word of believing? There's only one reason God gave his word, to be believed. See? So we share it and we look for those who believe. Just like the Apostle Paul. Oh, you see, that's all we got to do. If the whole city chooses to mock or want to hear you again, well, you've blown the trumpet, haven't you? You know, there is one other factor I'd mention here in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It can't hurt to know this. First Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 5. This is talking about Paul and others when they came to Thessalonica. It says, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Oh, so when they came to Thessalonica, they came with the word of God, but they also came with some power, right? They also came operating Holy Spirit. They also came living it, in other words. You want to see more detail on how they lived it, look at chapter 2. So there is another factor, okay? On one hand, it doesn't matter if Stalin speaks the word. If it's the word of God, it's the word of God and can be believed, right? But for those of us who want to help people, it would help if you're living it. Now, I have met people who choose to not live God's word, and yet they speak it like crazy, and people believe, and people get delivered, and the people they speak to just grow right past them. You know, they just keep producing new believers, and those believers keep growing right past them. They're still in the cradle, but they're speaking the word. And people believe the word they speak and grow right past them. That's available, but do you really want to be that way? No. So there is another factor here, and that is we ought to be listening to last week's teaching and walking in God's ways as well as sharing God's ways. You know, but is it possible for you to be born again and just speak God's word and not grow one iota and help lots of people? Sure. But ideally, I think God would like us to grow as well, right? And wouldn't we like to? Sure we would. That's why this is a great example here in Thessalonica, because the people heard their words, but they also saw their lives. See, now, is your life ever going to be a perfect example of God's word? Yes, but at that point, there's going to be no one to witness to, because we'll be gathered together. Until then, no, but they could see the love of God in us. They could see the power of God in us, right? They could see the results of God's word in many categories beyond what the natural man could ever do. And look at this. Verse 6 says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Isn't that wonderful? Here comes Paul and others to Thessalonica speaking the word, but following Christ. And then he said, and you became followers of us. Well, that's a good thing, because who was Paul following? Christ. And then Macedonia and Achaia followed Thessalonica. That's okay, because who is Thessalonica following? Paul. And who is Paul following? Christ. Oh, you see? Isn't that wonderful? And that's the way it works. Because Paul came in not just with the words of God, but with a great example. And look at what that accomplished in Thessalonica. See? Just one following another. Easiest thing in the world, right? Unless your teen's driving to teen camp. But other than that, it's pretty simple. Just pay attention to who's in front of you. It's not that difficult. So you see, isn't this the simplest thing in the world? God's made known his word. We're interested in our fellowship in learning and teaching God's word accurately so people can walk in his ways. Number one, so I can, so you can. And then number two, so we can help others to walk in his ways. See? Even if you choose not to, God's word is powerful enough that you can share his word from the crib and others can turn on and believe and grow thereby. But ideally, we're all growing and we're all sharing. You see, that's the way it's supposed to work. Mark chapter 4, please. Seems to be one of our favorites in this fellowship, but with good reason, because Mark 4 really explains so simply why some believe those words you speak and others don't. It's that parable of the sower. I think most of you have read it. Most of you have probably taught it. What a wonderful example where Jesus Christ talks about the sower going out and sowing the seed, and the seed lands on four different kinds of ground, right? And what he's illustrating to them that day is four different ways of receiving God's word. All four types do hear. They all hear. Okay, they all hear the word. So they get a chance to hear, but then what they do with it after they've heard is what differs, you see. And we're going to encounter these as well. It says the first kind, we'll skip the parable itself and just go to the explanation. Is that all right with you? Verse 14 of Mark 4 says, the sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside. That was the first type, where the word's sown, but when they've heard, so they did what? They heard, right? They heard. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now that's sad, but please recognize it is a choice, right? It is a choice. If you've heard the word of God, then where is it now? It's in there, right? So for Satan to come and take it out, you got to let him. It doesn't say Satan took the word before they had a chance to hear it. No, they heard it. They heard it. See? But they chose to let it be stolen from them so quickly that maybe 5 minutes later, it made no impression whatsoever. But it was heard, therefore a choice was made. And there are people like that, certainly, right? Who you speak the word to, and while you're talking, they're hearing, but boy, the moment you're done talking, it's over. It's over. That's a choice, okay? It's not that they were unfortunately born in such a way that Satan had a door into their brain. No, they opened that door. And that's why he could snatch the word, because they'd, ultimately they'd rather have something else in there than the word of God, okay? It is a choice. He takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So it was in the heart, and it was taken. Now, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Now, stony ground's a little bit different from the wayside, right? If you go out on the street today, the side of the road you're not going to grow much on, you know, the shoulder. But stony ground you might be able to grow a little bit, right? And so here's the kind that was sown on stony ground. When they've heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness. Oh, that's great. That's the kind of people we want. They receive it with gladness. Yeah, that's the kind we want. Well, did God give his word for gladness? No, he gave his word for what? Believing. I've met people who, when they first hear the word of God, are bummed out. But they believe it. They're kind of bummed out because they suddenly realize they're sinners. They suddenly realize a lot of things that doesn't bless them to hear, but they believe it. So the cheerfulness with which it's heard has really nothing to do with believing, does it? So this second group, they love to hear, oh boy, this is great, this is exciting, tell me some more. Let's stay up all night, then you'll be good for nothing again tomorrow. They receive with gladness, but look at this, they have no root in themselves, so they endure but for a time. You know, their root's all in you. They like being around you, they like hearing you speak the word, but they just endure for a time. And you know what always shows them up? Here it is. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended, or they fall, or they stumble. That's how you know. Because as soon as it becomes a little bit difficult to do God's word, they're no longer interested. You know, as long as it's convenient, they can come to your house, drink your coffee, take up your time, it's comfortable, there's nothing better to do, you know, that's wonderful. But as soon as it becomes a little bit difficult, a little bit challenging, you know, they don't want to hear it anymore. You know, that's why sometimes you see records in the Word of God, like with Naaman. Remember, Naaman came down with leprosy, came down to the man of God, and the man of God, and Naaman was a pretty important guy, and the man of God didn't even bother coming out to see him. Great Naaman, but you know why he didn't come out? Revelation. So the man of God sent his servant out and said, tell him to dip in the River Jordan 7 times. The servant came out and said, my master says dip in the Jordan 7 times. See you later. And Naaman, it says, was wroth, was angry, right? You see records in the Word like that many times, where people don't like the way the word's delivered, you know. But when thankfully for Naaman, when he finally sobered up and heeded some good counsel, he realized whether I liked the way it was delivered or not, it was the word of God. Therefore, I'm going to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And guess what happened? He got healed, didn't he? You know. So, yeah, sometimes certainly we want to, you know, do our best to make the word, present the word in such a way that people can be receptive to it. But we never change the word. We never water down the word for the sake of people. You understand? We just give them the word of God. They receive with, sooner or later, the test is going to come, where it becomes a little bit hard to believe God's word. It becomes a little bit challenging to continue to hear God's word even. And that's when you find out how much root that person has in themselves. Let's see. Now the third kind here, it says, these are they which are sown among thorns in verse 18. They hear the word. See, all of these have heard the word, right? And these guys, they hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now this is a little different from the one before. The one before talks about persecution, you know, hard, it becomes difficult. Here it's talking about the cares of the world, and maybe it's not the best translation, because a better translation for this word cares is the distractions of the world. It's not so much that they're pressured off the word, that people tell them, we don't like you because you carry a Bible. It's the distractions of the world. See? They hear the word. And notice it says they become unfruitful. To become unfruitful, I must have once been what? Fruitful. This, to me, is the one that pertains most to those of us who've been in God's word for a while. Maybe we've even been fruitful. The challenge to us isn't so much that somebody's going to hold a gun to your head and say, stop believing the word, but the cares of the world, the distractions of the world. See? All those things that catch your interest, that, I better put some time into this. And here's the word of God's back here. Better put some time into this. Better put some time. Oh, this looks interesting. Better get involved in this. Better get involved in this. And pretty soon the word of God's off there like Shane. Remember Shane? You teens don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Oh, do you see how that could apply to you and me? I think very few of us who've ever been fruitful and really seen the goodness of God in His Word are going to flinch if somebody says, hey, I'll throw you in jail for believing God's Word. Oh, throw me in jail. But the distractions of the world are much more subtle, aren't they? You just sort of get caught up in this, get caught up in that, get caught up in the other, and pretty soon, so many weeds, you can't see the plants anymore, can you? And those weeds just came in, we allowed them to flourish, and pretty soon there's nothing left. Man, oh man, that's something that we should be aware of, not only in ministering God's word, but perhaps be aware of in our own lives as well, right? Because that's how that one can become unfruitful, see, is those distractions, those things in the world that lure you away. Look at Matthew 6, please. Matthew 6 is one of many places that illustrate this truth, but let's look at this. Matthew 6, Jesus Christ teaching here, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when you do your alms, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of what? Men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When you do your alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does, that your alms may be in secret. Your Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Alms here, in case you're wondering, oh, it could be compared to like the abundant sharing. There's more to it than that biblically, but it could be compared to the abundant sharing. Like, you know, you don't, when that horn of plenty comes around, you don't take out your wallet and pull out that $100 bill and make sure you pull it out like that so people around you can see it before you put it in. You know, you do it quietly, you do it privately. You don't even let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, you see? Or you have your reward. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, does that mean all prayer in public is wrong? No, no, no. But if that's the only reason, the only time you find time to pray is when it's in front of other people that you can impress, you have your reward. You have your reward. You know, let me show them what a deep heart I have for the things of God. Well, you have your reward. It says, but when you pray, enter into your closet. When you've shut your door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee how? Openly. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Farther down in this record, how about in verse 16, it says, when you fast, don't be as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Oh, man, do you know people like this? Now, we don't do a lot of fasting in this outfit, but do you know people like this who, you know, they're going to let you know darn well how much they're suffering for God? You know, if they had to get up early to be a part of something, they're going to look as tired as they can. So you say, my, oh, my, how Brendan must love God. Look at how tired he is. He got up so early to be a part of this. My, and they know darn well that's exactly what you're thinking, because they're going out of their way to look as tired as they can, to look as burdened as they can. Oh, you understand? We don't do a lot of fasting, but we still see this on occasion. And it says, they disfigure their faces that they may appear to fast. They make them, they suck their cheeks and, you know, so they look like they're fasting. And he says, they have their reward. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you don't appear to men to fast. You know, push your belly out when you're fasting. But unto your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Oh, isn't that something? Here's what it all comes down to in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves don't break through and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it can only be one of two places, right? Either I'm doing it for the world and what the world offers, you know, the distractions of the world, and the attention the world offers, and the reward that the world offers, or I'm doing it for God. Oh, isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? It says here in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God in the world. Can't do it. Many of you know the word for serve here is not really a servant, but a slave. And in the lands and times of the Bible, one of the things about this particular slave that we've been taught, it's an Orientalism. You'll learn about Orientalisms next week if you're at family camp. You'll learn a little bit about them anyway. Is that this particular slave, this doulos, there were household slaves who were required to serve everybody. You know, they're like the hired help. You come in the door, they're required to serve you. But this doulos was a slave of one master and one master only. So it didn't matter who was in the house. If I was your doulos, I kept my eyes on you 24 hours a day. And you had little signals like that. You might go like that. And that means go warm up the car. Or you do that. And that means, you know, get me another beer or whatever it might be. And that doulos was bound to that master. Now, okay, if I'm that kind of servant, how in the world can I serve too? Because while I'm looking over here at this master, you're going, give me another beer. Right? Great illustration of the choice you and I have to make. We're going to walk in God's ways or the world's ways? Are we going to seek our reward from him, or are we going to seek our reward from the world? There is no in between. Ultimately, your life's going to go one way or the other. There is no in between, you guys. Oh, there is for a while, maybe, but that fence gets awful pointy up your behind after a while, and you will make a choice. There is no in-between. We can't serve God and mammon. We can't serve God and the world. We can't walk in his ways and the world's ways and expect our ways to be sort of straight. There's a choice to be made, see? This group here, pretty interesting. They're sort of like the ones that became unfruitful. Because at one time, maybe they served God clear-eyed, understood what they were doing, and then at some point, they got distracted by the world, didn't they? And they started following something else, you know? There's a way of changing that. If you're a Christian and you don't like what you're doing, there's a way to change that. If you don't like your... I'll tell you a story. Boy, this teaching is Someday I'll teach you what I was going to teach you this morning, but when I was a much younger man, I used to write and perform music a whole lot. Thanks, you know, lucky for you, that doesn't happen much anymore, but when I was a younger man, I did it a lot. And I remember one time in particular, Leon, you understand this, and it's true of other fields, I guess, but certainly within in performance arts, you're concerned about the response of people, right? And I remember one time playing for a group of people, and there was one girl there that I really wanted to impress. Really wanted to. She'd caught my eye in a variety of ways, and I really wanted to impress her. So I just totally focused on this one person. And boy, what's she going to like? And which songs is she going to respond to? I tuned everybody else out. I know you're not supposed to do that, Leon, but I did, okay? And I just picked, I just thought, boy, what songs would she really like? What, you know? And I just played the performance of a lifetime that night for that one person. And afterwards, she came up to me and she goes, oh, that was really great. That was kind of the response. Oh, yeah, yeah, thanks a lot for playing. I really, really liked it. Now, thankfully, I got her to marry me anyway. But where am I going to take this illustration now? I have no idea yet. Yes, I do know. I didn't know her well enough to know what she'd like. If I would have known her well enough, I would have known the best thing I could do is not even take the guitar out. But we know what God likes, don't we? We know what God likes. He's told us in His Word. We know what He likes. See, if you want to change your performance, change your audience. You see? Who you're performing for. You want to change your performance? Change your audience. It's God's made it clear what He wants to see on stage. You know? You don't know what I mean by on stage. What He wants to see. We know His favorite songs, right? Amazing Grace, The Love of God, Standing on the Promises. We know His favorite songs. Only Believe, that's one of His favorites. If I want to change what I'm doing in my life, change my audience. Quit being so concerned about that audience that rewards immediately and get more concerned about that audience that gave His only begotten Son for me, that rewards in eternity. The more I get familiar with His Word, the more pleasing Him is going to matter to me and the less pleasing the world is going to matter to me. So now some Christians are living for the world and they're perfectly happy. But I know there's some Christians who are living for the world and they're unhappy. They miss those days of being fruitful. Well, the answer is very simple. Change your audience. And you'll change your performance. You understand? So that illustration did make sense after all, didn't it? Let's go back to Mark 4 real briefly. We should look at that fourth type of ground, right? Because this one is still available. Verse 20, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and they do what? They receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. See, in each one of those four that are in this parable, they're a choice. You and I can choose which of these kind of ground we want to be. You know, do I want to just give the devil open access to my life where as soon as I hear the word, it's stolen from my heart? Do I want to find the word interesting and fun and do it until it becomes inconvenient? You know, do I want to start off with a bang and then let the world distract me so that I spend the rest of my life wondering where my fruit went? Or do I want to be fruitful? Well, it's relatively simple if I want to be, I walk in the ways of God. I walk in the ways of God. And I maintain myself in the ways of God, recognizing that there are going to be distractions, right? And so I don't pay attention to the distractions. And when I do fall for the distractions, I get myself back into the ways of God. Remember last week, doctrine, reproof, and correction? That's how he trains his children, right? And then he promises, I'll bear fruit. It's really not complicated. It's really not complicated. Ultimately, there's only two ways to walk, the ways of the world, which is ultimately one way, or the ways of God, see? And there is no in-between. And we're never going to force people to go with us. That's, you know, the thing I opened up with. Let me please emphasize that again. I can't make anybody walk in the ways of God, but I can teach the ways of God. See, I can be an example of the ways of God. And I can see to it that I walk in the ways of God. Let's go back to Ezekiel, in fact. Let me show you something there. Because I told you about when Ezekiel was called, right? What God promised him. Remember God's great promise? No one's going to ever believe you as long as you minister. Can you imagine? Well, at least he wouldn't have to be concerned with building a building then, would he? Let's see. Chapter 3 of Ezekiel. Verse 7 says, the house of Israel... Oh, sorry, you're still getting to Ezekiel. Chapter 3. Verse 7, the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. There it is. They will not hearken... For God says, they will not hearken unto me. So that's how he starts his ministry. God says, Israel's not going to listen to you. And I know, because they never listen to me either. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I made your face strong against their faces and your forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made your forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, look at this, son of man, all my words which I shall speak unto thee, you receive in your heart and hear with your ears. Oh, isn't that something? They're not going to listen to you, but you can listen. They're not going to receive, but you can receive. Back in chapter 2, verse 7, he says, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they'll forbear, for they're most rebellious. But thou, son of man, you hear what I say unto you. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee. See, so we can't change people. We can't make them live God's word. And thank God we can't. Because, you know, if you could make people live God's word, then you could make people not live God's word too. Works both ways. But we can see to it that we live God's word and that we share it with others by our words and by our example so that it's there for those who want to believe. And those who don't, God bless them. There's plenty of places for them to go. But those who do, we can share God's word with so they too can walk in God's ways and have the joy of bearing the fruit and have the joy of seeing their ways made straight. Let's look at Nehemiah, please, and I think we'll close there. Let me let you in on a little secret, especially you younger people. Circumstances, a change in circumstances does not make you faithful. Please, if you've listened to nothing else I've said this morning, listen to that. A change in circumstances will not make you faithful. If people can't be forced to walk in the ways of God, then moving them from one town into another isn't going to do the job either, right? Just the fact that you've changed circumstances does not mean now you can be faithful. Now you're going to be faithful. You know, if I only, you ever hear those words? If I only fill in the blank. If I only went to a different school. If I only lived in a different neighborhood. If I only had different parents who lived the word better. If I only lived here. If I only did this. If I only had that. If I only, and you know, you adults, it applies to you as well. You know, you could change all those circumstances and you know what it's going to change in your believing? Nothing. Because God's word is there to be believed wherever we are, whatever our circumstances are. You just don't want to believe it. See? If only, if only, if only. Well, how about if only I start believing God's word right now where I am? You will find from hard experience that all those changes in circumstances don't change your heart.
and don't change your faithfulness. There's only one who can change your heart and your faithfulness, and that's you. Oh, but when I go to college, then, you know, after I get out of college, then, you know, when I get married, then, you know, once we have these children, you know, once the children are grown, then I'm really never going to happen. There's only one thing that's going to make you faithful, and that's you, not circumstances. There's only one thing that's going to make you fruitful, and that is you choose to hold on to God's word. You choose to be faithful to it. See, you choose to walk in his ways. Nothing, no stimulant on earth is going to make that happen for you. But you can choose to, and then you can become fruitful right now where you are in the circumstances that you're in. If only I hadn't married so-and-so. Oh, is God still God? His way is still his ways. His word is still his word. Yeah. No circumstance on earth changes that. And no circumstance on earth is going to make it so God's word is automatic. You see. Now, sometimes a circumstance can put me in a situation where I have to believe God a little more. Right, guys from Cambridge? And that's wonderful. You know, that's what this year is all about for them. Putting them in situations where I'm sure a week's only gone by. I'm sure they've already found out what they're made of. I'm sure there's areas where some of them thought they were deeply rooted in God's word, and they've realized, my goodness, my roots don't go as deep as I thought they did, because I can't run to my room like I could at home. I can't fake these people out like I would fake out mom and dad. I can't stomp my feet and get my way like I did at home. Right? Good learning, isn't it? Yeah, you bet your life it is. Let's look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. So we've been a few places this morning, but the great thing I want you to see again is this is simple. God gave his word to make known his ways. If we choose to walk in his ways, our ways are going to be made straight. We're going to prosper. We're going to be blessed. If we choose to hold on to that word of God and be faithful to it, we're going to bear fruit. There's no great mystery here. I can't force anybody else to do that, but I can make known God's word. And even if they don't want it, I can make sure that I stay true to God's word. Because that's staying true to God. See, Nehemiah is a great record if you ever want to take the time and read this whole book. It's not that long. It's only 13 chapters, I think. And it's regarding a pretty crucial change in circumstances where the children of Israel came back from bondage in Babylon and came back and they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem and a number of other things occurred. And it's really capped off here in chapter 8 in many ways by a reading of the word to the people at a time when most of them really in their lifetimes hadn't heard it. It had been lost to a whole generation or more of Israel. And I just love here what when they had gotten all the people together and gotten ready and they built a little platform so that the people who were going to read the word could read the word. And here's what it says. It says in verse 8 of Nehemiah 8, it says, they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And you know, ultimately, that's all we can do. You know, that's what this outfit is all about, is let's endeavor to rightly divide the scriptures so we can not just throw Bible verses at somebody, but we can do what verse 8 says. You know, we can read in the law of God distinctly. We can read in the word of God distinctly. We can give the sense of it. And we can help them to understand what God's word says. But the one thing it doesn't say they did here, they didn't believe for them, did they? I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. I can do my best to make known God's word, make it known clearly and simply, and even better, be an example of it to you. That's as far as I can go. See? So please don't call me and ask me to change any more people, because I can't do it. But we can teach God's word, and those who want to change, there's nothing they can't change if they'll believe God's word. So let's remember that, okay? We want to endeavor to walk in God's ways. We also want to help others to walk in God's ways. We can never force others to walk in God's ways, but we can teach them God's ways, and then they can choose to believe. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for making this word available to us. God, I'm so looking forward to this week coming up when so many of your people are going to be learning how to do exactly this, learning how to understand your word clearly and simply to the end that they could make it known to others, God. But I thank you that we never forget that in the process of all of this, our reason for wanting to rightly divide your word is to know you and to know your ways so we can walk in them and so we can help others who desire to do so. Thank you for that, Father, for your goodness and mercy to us and for knowing that your Son is coming back. Could be any day now, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Sorry.
Let's close with number 52, Love Lifted Me. Number 52.